Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Commander's Forge. My name is Andy Bentley, and the Forge is an area for me to talk about Magic, Commander, and anything else, as I try and figure out what this mental health thing is supposed to be. Now, this week, I wasn't entirely sure what I was going to talk about, but then I remembered that they fully spoiled the Lord of the Rings set. So, we're going to hop into that. And because I don't want this episode to take too long, we're going to hop right into that. So, I went through the list, and I picked out two cards from each color or combinations, stuff like that. And I went in Wooburg order because I went through Scryfall to do this. So, first up for white, we have the Flowering of the White Tree and Gandalf the White. Flowering of the White Tree is 2 white mana for a legendary enchantment. Legendary creatures you control get +2/+1 and have ward 1. Non-legendary creatures you control get +1/+1. So, back when they being wizards, banned a bunch of cards because they were socially unacceptable, one of the cards that was banned was Crusade, for obvious reasons. This is a fixed version of that. I have so many decks that this wants to be a part of. Some that are very legendary based, but even just some of my mono white decks are going to love this. Now, as for Gandalf the White, he is 3 white white for a 4/5 avatar wizard with flash. You may cast legendary spells and artifact spells as though they had flash, and if a legendary permanent or an artifact entering or leaving the battlefield causes a triggered ability of a permanent you control to trigger, that ability triggers an additional time. I know that's a mouthful. Mostly, I have been looking at putting together a mono white deck. I know, surprises nobody, right? But I'm thinking about building Yoshimaru and Keleth. So, just the ability to have all of my mono white legends come in as though they had flash is a way to kind of control when I'm growing Yoshimaru. So, you know. Yeah. Now, for blue, we picked Gandalf, Friend of the Shire, and the Watcher in the Water. Gandalf, Friend of the Shire, is 3 and a blue for a 2/4 avatar wizard with flash. You may cast sorcery spells as though they had flash, and whenever the ring tempts you, if you choose a creature other than Gandalf, Friend of the Shire, as your ring bearer, you draw a card. Now, do I know where I want to put this? No. But the number of times where I've been building a deck, and I see this awesome spell, and I look at it and I go, ah, it's a sorcery. And I don't know if I can justify running it because it's a sorcery over being an instant. This helps alleviate that problem. Now, the Watcher in the Water is 3 blue-blue for a 9/9 Kraken. The Watcher in the Water enters the battlefield tapped with 9 stun counters on it, and whenever you draw a card during an opponent's turn, you create a 1/1 blue tentacle creature token, and whenever a tentacle you control dies, untap up to 1 target Kraken and put a stun counter on up to 1 target non-land permanent. I think this deck's basically going to build itself, and I don't know. If it's super popular, I probably won't build it. But if I only see a couple of decks online with this, I might throw my hat in the ring because there's other things that also make tokens like this. That said, we're going to move on to the next color in the color wheel, which is black, which starts with Isildur's Fateful Strike, and then the Witch King of Angmar. Isildur's Fateful Strike is 2 black-black for a legendary instant. This means you can only cast it if you control a legendary creature or a planeswalker. Destroy target creature. If its controller has more than 4 cards in hand, they exile cards from their hand to equal the difference. So, part of why I like this is A, it's a 4 mana removal spell, but B, this is better than discard. This is exiling cards from their hand. And say a greedy blue mage is sitting with 20 cards in hand. Well, you get to keep the best 4. So, I like that. Moving on. to the Witch King of Angmar, which is 3 black-black. It's a 5/3 Wraith Noble with flying, and whenever one or more creatures deal combat damage to you, each opponent sacrifices a creature that dealt combat damage to you this turn, and the ring tempts you. You can also discard a card to give the Witch King of Angmar indestructible till end of turn, and you tap it. Again, I don't know where I would put this. I don't think I would build a deck around the Witch King of Angmar, but I think I have a few decks where he might fit in nicely. We'll see in the future. Right, now getting into red. Well, we kind of chose the same guy. Hear me out. Aomer, Marshal of Rohan, and Aomer of the Riddlemark are the two that I chose. So yes, technically the same guy, but Aomer, Marshal of Rohan is 2 red-red for a 4/4 human knight with haste. Whenever one or more attacking legendary creatures you control die, untap all creatures you control after this phase. There's an additional combat phase. This ability triggers only once each turn. I'm sure there's some way to break this in half with Helm of the Host and Nim Deathmantle. I just don't want to take the time right now to figure it out because you'd have to have the mana for it as well, meaning you'd need to have a way to... Yeah, you know, I'm not putting the thought into it at this present moment. Now, the other version of Aomer, Aomer of the Riddlemark, I do have somewhere I want to put him. He is 4 and a red for a 5/4 human knight with haste. Whenever he attacks, if you control a creature with the greatest power among creatures on the battlefield, create a 1/1 white human soldier creature token. Yeah, because I can read. Now, I built Halana and Elena Partners, and the deck is all about just throwing counters around, and it very consistently has the biggest creatures on the board, so I just feel like it's a good slot to put it, right? And there's nothing, like, breathtakingly awesome here, but I like good utility creatures, so sue me. Alright, now moving into green, we're going to talk about the only 2 non-legendary cards in my list. The first is Delighted Halfling, and the second one is The Last March of the Ents. So Delighted Halfling is a single green mana for a 1/2 halfling citizen that taps to add colorless. But more importantly, you can tap it to add 1 mana of any color, spend this mana only to cast a legendary spell. That spell can't be countered. And that text right there is the reason I'm talking about this, because this is just another... I don't want to just call it another 1-mana elf, but it's essentially another 1-mana elf with upside for legendary creatures. So she might be an honorary elf in the near future. Maybe. Now, the Last March of the Ents is 6 green-green for a sorcery. The spell can't be countered, and then you draw cards equal to the greatest toughness among creatures you control. Then put any number of creature cards from your hand onto the battlefield. There's a comma there. So you draw the cards first. Yeah, this card's going to be real stupid. That's probably why it costs 8 mana, but what, especially mono green deck, isn't going to have access to 8 mana by like turn 5 or 6 at the latest. It's good. I'm going to put it into Goreclaw, and we're going to go to town. It's going to be a good time for me. Now, looking at the multicolored stuff, I still kept it to 2 cards, but there's a lot of them in any combination of 2 to 4 colors. But the 2 I went with are Shelob, Child of Ungoliant, and Aragorn, Company Leader. Starting with Shelob, Child of Ungoliant. It's 4 black-green for an 8/8 spider demon. It has Death Touch and Ward 2. More importantly, other spiders you control have Death Touch and Ward 2. Whenever another creature dealt damage this turn by a spider you control dies, create a token that's a copy of that creature Except it's a food artifact with pay to tap, sacrifice this artifact, you gain 3 life, and loses all other card types. Note that it doesn't say it loses all other card abilities. So, that's a real nice mana dork you have there. I'm going to have my spider fight it. I make a token copy of it, and now I have a mana rock I can sack later to gain some life. This card is going to be a problem, and I'm going to make it a problem. Now, Aragorn Company Leader, much more humble of a card. Also, a very beautiful art, and if you disagree with me, you can just leave. I don't want your energy here. That said, it's 1, a green and a white, for a 3/3 human ranger. Whenever the ring tempts you, if you choose a creature other than Aragorn Company Leader as your ring bearer, put your choice of a counter from among First Strike, Vigilance, Death Touch, and Lifelink on Aragorn. Whenever you put one or more counters on Aragorn, put one of each of those counters on up to one other creature. So there's some shenanigans here we can get into, but honestly, who doesn't just want to make somebody else the ring bearer, slap, you know, a counter on Aragorn, slap a sword into his hands, and then go to town, right? That's what this says to me. As a matter of fact, a good sword to slap into his hands, because this is a good transition, would be Anduril, Flame of the West, which is a 3-mana legendary artifact equipment. Equipped creature gets +3/+1, and whenever the equipped creature attacks, you make 2 tapped 1/1 white spirit creature tokens with flying. If that creature is legendary, instead create 2 of those tokens that are tapped and attacking. Equips for 2. I also will not hear or field any bad comments about the art on this card. If you're hurt by it, you need to do a little soul searching. That's all you're going to get out of me on this matter, is that it doesn't matter. It's beautiful art. Now, the other artifact I want to talk about is arguably one of the best functional reprints we've seen in a hot minute, and that is Mithril Coat, which is a 3-mana legendary artifact equipment. It has flash, indestructible. When it enters the battlefield, attach it to a legendary creature you control. The equipped creature has indestructible and equips for 3. Now, I call it a functional reprint, but this is technically a little better than Darksteel Plate. But Darksteel Plate, I believe, is 3, costs 2 to equip, doesn't have flash, doesn't auto-equip any of that stuff. If the deck wants one of these, it's getting both of these. That's just how it's going to work from now on. Okay, now we're rounding this out with lands. Now, this is the one area where I have more to talk about than just 2. I technically have 7, but 5 of them are a cycle, so it shouldn't be too hard to get through. So let's just jump right into the cycle first. We have Minas Tirith, legendary land. Enters the battlefield tapped unless you control a legendary creature. Taps to add white. Pay 1 and a white and tap. Draw a card. Activate only if you attacked with 2 or more creatures this turn. Now, they all have the same text of it enters the battlefield tapped unless you control a legendary creature, so I'm going to skip that for the rest of these. The next one up is Rivendell. Taps add blue. You can pay 1 and a blue and tap to scry 2. Activate only if you control a legendary creature. And moving into black, we have Barad-dûr. Legendary land. Taps add black. You can pay XX black and tap to amass Orcs X. Activate only if a creature died this turn. Next up is the Mines of Moria, legendary land, taps add red, 3 and a red, tap exile 3 cards from your graveyard, create 2 treasure tokens. And finally, we have the Shire, legendary land, taps to add green, and you can pay 1 and a green, tap, and tap an untapped creature you control to create a food token. And that's it. It's a whole cycle of legendary lands that care about you having legendary creatures, taps for any one color of their color identity, and then has an activated ability that has some kind of drawback on it, right? Like having a legendary creature or a creature dying or having an untapped creature. It just, yeah. And finally, we have 2 lands left. The first one is the Grey Heavens, and the second one is Mount Doom. The Grey Heavens is a legendary land. When it enters the battlefield, you scry 1. It taps for a colorless. and you can tap it and add one mana of any color among legendary creature cards in your graveyard. So I see this just slotting into so many different decks. So yeah, just keep. And finally, we have Mount Doom. It is a legendary land. You can tap it and pay one life to add a black or a red. You can pay one a black and a red and tap it to do one damage to each opponent. And then you can pay five black, red, tap, sacrifice Mount Doom and a legendary artifact. Choose up to two creatures, then destroy the rest. Activate only as a sorcery. I love that this card tells a story, but more importantly, it's a pain land that turns into a pain for your opponent's land, and then finally into a board wipe. But the whole sacrifice it and a legendary artifact is referencing throwing the ring into the fires of Mordor, blah, 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 to the two creatures surviving, referencing, you know, Frodo and Sam. I love it. I love the lore that we get with this set. So, yeah, that's it. That took much longer than I had hoped it would. But what can I say? There was a lot of cards to sort through. It's a lot. So, I don't know what I'm going to do for the second part of this, but I am going to try and keep it relatively short. I will be right back.
Hey, I just want to take a minute to tell you about my Patreon. I know times are hard for everybody, and I know it isn't easy to shuffle around bills and stuff, believe me, I know that. But if you would like to help support the podcast and me, you can find the links to my Patreon in my link tree, which is always put into the description of either the video or the audio, wherever you're listening to it. It would really mean the world to me. Honestly, I'm just struggling to make ends meet most weeks. But that's it. That's all. If you want to help, the links will be where you can find them.
And welcome back. Now, I'm going to keep this relatively short because the first half of this podcast was already like 17 minutes long. So we're going to do it nice and sweet. We're going to talk about my Giada Font of Hope deck. I'm sure I talked about it in the past, but it has seen some changes in the last couple of weeks. So let's just talk about it again. So Giada Font of Hope is one and a white for a 2/2 angel. She has flying, vigilance, and each other angel you control enters the battlefield with an additional +1/+1 counter on it for each angel you already control. And you can tap her to add white. Spend this mana only to cast an angel spell. So, the whole thing is, it's angels, it's anthems, it's getting creatures back out of the graveyard, shenanigans. To keep this short, I'm only going to talk about 10 cards that I pulled out. And in no particular order, we're going to start with Norn's Choirmaster, which is 3 white-white for a 5/4 Phyrexian Angel with flying and first strike. Whenever a commander you control enters the battlefield or attacks, proliferate. I don't really think I need to explain why this is going to be good here, because Giada makes it so your angels enter with +1/+1 counters, right? Yeah. Next up, we have Sanctuary Warden, 4 white-white for a 5/5 Angel Soldier. It has flying. When it enters with 2 shield counters. Whenever she enters or attacks, you can remove a counter from a creature or a planeswalker you control. If you do, draw a card and create a 1/1 green and white citizen creature token. I always forget about the 1/1. Always. I've had this card in play so many times and I've never read all the way because I just care about drawing the card. Regardless, again, Giada throws counters on. You can take counters off. Good fun times. Next up, we have Angel of Destiny, 3 white-white for a 2/6 Angel Cleric with flying and double strike. Whenever a creature you control deals combat damage to a player, you and that player gain that much life. At the beginning of your end step, if you have at least 15 more life than your starting life total, each player Angel of Destiny attack this turn loses the game. Again, we make giant angels, we swing in, we gain a bunch of life, we win. We kill people. Next up, we have Amaria Shepherd. 5 white for a 4/4 angel. With flying and landfall, whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, you may return target non-land permanent card from your graveyard to your hand. If that land is a plains, you may return that non-land permanent card to the battlefield instead. Again, I don't think I need to explain why this is going to be good in here. So we'll move on to Righteous Valkyrie. 2 and a white for a 2/4 angel cleric with flying. Whenever another angel or cleric enters the battlefield under your control, you gain life equal to that creature's toughness. As long as you have at least 7 or more life than your starting life total, creatures you control get +2/+2. So fun little bit is that Giada says that those angels enter with those counters on them. So what might already be, you know, a 5/5 might also already enter with 4+1/+1 counters on it, meaning you would gain 9 life off of that angel entering. So yeah. Alright, well, next up, we have Lyra Dawnbringer. 3 white for a 5/5 angel with flying, first strike, and lifelink. Other angels you control get +1/+1 and have lifelink. After that, we're just going to move right into Angel of the Ruins. 5 white for a 5/7 artifact creature angel. I don't know if that's important or not. Has flying. When Angel of the Ruins enters the battlefield, exile up to 2 target artifacts and or enchantments, and it has plane cycling for 2. Last up of the actual angels that I pulled out to talk about, we have Sigarda's Vanguard, 4 and a white. 3/3 angel flash flying. Whenever she enters the battlefield or attacks, choose any number of creatures with different powers. Those creatures gain double strike until end of turn. Yeah. Now, the last two I pulled out to talk about are part of the get stuff back cards that we're running. The first one is Revivify. 2 and a white for an instant. Roll a d20 and add the number of creature cards in your graveyard that were put there from the battlefield this turn. On a 1 to a 14, return all creature cards in your graveyard that were put there from the battlefield this turn to your hand. But if you get a 15+, return those cards from your graveyard to the battlefield. And finally, we have Marshall's Anthem, 2 white. For an enchantment with multi-kicker for 1 and a white, creatures you control get +1/+1, and when it enters the battlefield, return up to X target creature cards from your graveyard to the battlefield, where X is the times Marshall's Anthem was kicked. Alright, and there's Giada. If you want to actually see the deck list, this one is in my Archidect, which I do believe is in my link tree. I'll double check later. But hey, look at that. I kept this under 7 minutes. Let's keep it that way, and I will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. All of my links can be found in my link tree in the description below. I would like to thank Ian Foss and Cody Mulpey of the band The Crypt for allowing me to use music for my opening and ending, along with Nate and Erica Jacobs for making my original logo. And I would also like to thank Christina McNichol for creating my new logo. And I'll see you next time.